Panic Zone. I'm Steve Cooper. God bless America. Thank you for being here. Big show ahead. Three big things to talk about today. The college football playoffs are set after Alabama crushes Georgia. Michigan destroys Iowa. Those three teams joined by Cincinnati. Number two, Chris Cuomo is out. Michael Smirkanish is in. CNN finally finds some dose of a spine, but that's it. And number three, I want to have a conversation with you about how to understand what happened at Oxford High School almost a week ago when a 15-year-old student wandered through the hallways of that Michigan high school, calmly pulling the trigger on a handgun given to him as a gift by his parents. A 15-year-old given a brand-new handgun by his parents, who apparently didn't realize there were problems. How they could not know is beyond me, but okay, let's go with that premise. Let's go with that premise that they didn't know, but at some point they had to have figured it out. They're called to the school for behavioral issues. They're notified the day before the shooting and the day of the shooting. That's what's happened. And they sit there in a meeting where they see notes from this kid where he writes, "I can't stop the voices. I need help." He's been found with drawings of violence, blood everywhere. Nobody thinks to search this kid's backpack, which is sitting in the office, which, by the way, had the gun in it at the time. Most likely. Now, I can't say that for sure, but most likely it was there. And you have to ask yourself, how does this happen? How is there no protocol? And how do you raise a kid that goes to school, writes notes about being unable to control the voices in his head, and then send him back to class? This is your kid. He's got a gun you bought for him. And he walks through the hallways later, methodically killing his classmates. How do you get there? And honestly, how do you buy a 15-year-old kid a handgun and then not keep track of it at all? You don't even know where it is. And I come back to, how do you not think to search that backpack? If that had happened at pretty much any urban school in America, if a kid had said, I'm hearing voices and I need help, they would have searched the backpack, the locker. They would have sent that kid out of there. That would not have happened in Detroit or Grand Rapids or Chicago or Milwaukee. That would not have happened. But it's a rural school. Nothing got searched. Nothing got searched. When we talk about how to prevent this sort of thing from happening in the future, the left wants to go straight to the gun. Well, how about we start here with protocol over how to deal with somebody who makes threats to the school? If you walk into an airport and make a joke about a bomb on an airplane, you're arrested. If you make a bomb threat in an airport, you're arrested. Pretty simple. Why do we not have laws that are straightforward in the regard of, you make a threat toward a school, as a student, anybody. You threaten a school, there's a series of charges you can face immediately, including expulsion, boom, right there. This is a case with a whole lot of questions and not a lot of good answers, quite honestly. The parents have both been charged now with four counts of manslaughter each. They were found hiding in some art studio in Detroit. They disappeared for 10 or 12 hours. They were criminal in their behavior as well and may have had a greater knowledge of this monster's malfunctions, this monster being their child. The child they armed. And it's not like today, for the people that lost somebody there last week, that today is any better than yesterday, or tomorrow will be any better. Their lives have been shredded, absolutely shredded by this monster. So what can we do to solve this? What can we do, America, to find ways to stop this sort of massacre from occurring without gutting the Constitution? What about dogs? Dogs can smell gunpowder and firearms. What's wrong with having a couple of beagles run around the school? Every school, every day. What's wrong with that? I had a conversation about this over the weekend, and somebody said, well, you know, it was okay that they could do this or that, but, you know, the rights of the student would be violated. No, we've had the courts hold over and over again. The kids inside a school building do not enjoy the same level of freedom or constitutional rights that you and I as adults enjoy out here in the wild. You don't have the same freedom of speech inside a school that you have as an adult on a street corner. So why would we expect these kids to have some sort of objection to dogs running the hallways? I don't much care. I don't much care if these kids have an objection to dogs. What about AI? Robots can also detect chemicals. Do we have an AI function that can detect gunpowder in the classroom or in the hallway? Now, I think the fastest track to securing these schools in one step, gunpowder sniffing dogs. I don't care if it's a beagle or a dachshund or a St. Bernard. I don't care what it is. Let those dogs be there. Certainly we can allow that to happen. There should be an effort underway today to find ways to identify firearms in the schools without impacting the Second Amendment and involving the constitutional rights of the rest of America. There has to be a way to protect children going to school from classmates that have no soul without impacting the Constitution. There has to be a way we can solve. We're smart people. We can figure this out. I mean, some schools, we've talked about this before, you don't hear about this happening in Detroit because they have their own police department. They have a metal detector. But if you're not going to put metal detectors in every school, we have to find a solution here. Now, I've arrived at dogs. What is your idea? Go to stevegruber.com. Stevegruber.com. Send me a note. Steve, here's what I think we could do. Here's how we could protect our school kids without destroying the Constitution of the United States. That's what I want to hear. Go to stevegruber.com. Let me know your thoughts, all right? Quick break. I'll be right back. I'm Steve Gruber, and I love flannel. For the love of flannel, be sure to grab a Grand Flannel by Muskox, a Michigan company focused on adventure and American wildlife conservation. I wear Grand Flannel all the time, a super durable, comfortable 100% cotton flannel perfect for the Michigan outdoors. To find out more, go to GoMuskox.com. GoMuskox.com. For the love of flannel. Go to GoMuskOx.com.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
Michigan has been through some tough times. We've seen businesses close, unemployment soar, and the economy take a heavy hit. But through these struggles, we've been given the opportunity to rethink, retool, and reimagine. It's through strength and determination, drive and focus, that we will be back, and we will bring Michigan back. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
I'm Craig Stiles, Financial Advisor and Managing Director with Stiles Miller & Clark Group, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC. It's been a confusing year. especially when trying to cover your essentials, maintaining your lifestyle, and planning for the unexpected. Things we thought we knew change rapidly, affecting our comfort and forcing us to question what we are doing. Assurance is something we all seek, especially during times of financial uncertainty. I'm experiencing the same market conditions and living with similar issues that my clients seek to resolve. Saving for college, planning for retirement, building a business, or maintaining current lifestyles when those unexpected situations arise. You're unique. So are your financial goals. I welcome the opportunity to work with you to help provide certainty in your financial life. Please give me a call at 517-483-4893. That's 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA, and SIPC.